Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. And now in depth on Wonder Woman as a symbol of empowerment.
Suppose we start with your name.
Wonder Woman.
That's the last name. Woman. First name. Wonder, right?
Shooter, not Zeal.
Me? I never shot a woman before, except in self-defense.
Excuse me, but that's very rude.
Get out of here, broad.
It's also dangerous.
This wonderful woman.
How did
the
United Nations choose a white cartoon character with Barbie doll proportions stuffed into a skimpy outfit as their global ambassador of empowerment? That's what more than 600 UN staffers who have put their signatures to a petition want to know. One of those petition signers, Anne-Marie Goetz, a former advisor to the UN, said she was disgusted over the decision and that Wonder Woman should use her lasso of truth to reveal the hypocrisy of the UN. The UN's goal is to bring more focus to gender equity and empowerment worldwide. But have they chosen the right symbol for that? Today, a conversation about why symbols matter and what the right symbol of girls' empowerment might look like if it isn't Wonder Woman. Maybe Wonder Woman is the right symbol. Two guests, your thoughts on this too. Is Wonder Woman a good messenger for the idea of valuing and empowering girls? If you were to choose the right symbol, cartoon, comic book character, otherwise, what would you choose? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. I'm on Twitter. I see some of you are tweeting in on this. It's at Carrie NPR. Jennifer Stuhler is with us. She's president of the board of Geek Girl Con and the author of Ink-Stained Amazons and Cinematic Warriors. And she joins us today from Seattle. And Jennifer, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Andrea Letamendi is a psychologist with expertise on pop culture, and she appeared. I couldn't believe this, Andrea. She appeared in a DC comic story as Batgirl's psychologist. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. Thanks for having me on the show,
Carrie. That's exciting. Really good to have you. Is first names all right with everybody? Is that good?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Jennifer, I think we ought to be clear that the original Marvel Comics Linda Carter representation of Wonder Woman is not how she'll look as a UN ambassador. She's going to have a cape. It covers that bustier, some other modest changes. Does that matter? Do you think they were right to change the representation, and does that matter?
I think it does matter. I think that DC Comics, actually, Linda Carter, Wonder Woman in the 70s. I personally don't find that outfit offensive, and neither did Linda Carter. She didn't feel objectified in it, and she's said so many times. But I do think for an international symbol, that having the cape and having the armor and showing her strength, she's staring straight into the camera, she's looking right at you, does make a huge difference. It's wildly different from some of the comic book incarnations or illustrations of Wonder Woman, where she is in this more exploitative, we call it the broke back, you know, where her waist is so tiny and she's spun so that you can see both T and A at the same time. Like, it does make a difference how she is physically represented, drawn, facing the camera.
I'm surprised that you said that you don't find the original outfit for the Linda Carter DC Comics representation offensive. Maybe not offensive, but a little off-putting? No?
No, not at all. I don't find it off-putting at all.
Andrea, what do you think of it?
She looks athletic. She's athletic.
Yeah.
And graceful.
And in a very skimpy bustier, Jennifer.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with a bustier, but you asked Rhea, so I would like to hear what.
Yeah, Andrea, what do you think?
I agree with Jen, and I think that it's important to remember what she's representing. You know, again, the image of Wonder Woman is just this empowering symbol. She's unifying us. She's this collective representation. I agree with the idea that her outfits over the last 75 years, although they have changed over time, they tend to be somewhat revealing. And there are some elements that are, you know, remain from the original incarnation, if you will. But I think there's, for me, this importance around understanding that she was the original feminist for many of us in terms of pop culture, in terms of comic book characters. She was created to represent the self-rescuing character, the self-rescuing woman. She was not a sidekick. She was not someone's girlfriend, wife. She was an individual who embodied justice, peace, equality. And so I'm not put off by her visual representation because I'm able to understand the entire picture.
Patrick says on Twitter, I have four daughters who have no interest at all in Wonder Woman. They do like superhero play and are usually super myself. Michelle says, if the UN is looking for real female empowerment, how about Beyonce and Dixie Chicks? And Stephanie says here, superheroes are for entertainment. For empowerment and personal development, I give my girls examples of real-life female heroes. So, Jennifer, that's something that I want to explore here. Is there...
those are three different points to unpack.
They are. Is there meaning in, when you're trying to get a global message across, is there meaning in using, you know, a comic book character, an entertainment kind of character to do that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Whether we can talk, I'm sure we will later, about whether this was the right character. She is an international symbol of the things that Freya was talking about. She is in line with the humanitarian values that the United Nations is trying to promote. And there's definitely some synergy surrounding the character right now that can bring more attention to the sustainable goals that the sustainable development goals that the UN is trying to produce. I'm hearing a lot of she's not a real woman,
right?
She's and therefore has no value. I'm hearing she's a cartoon character, and that's being said in a way that's extremely dismissive of the power and potential of popular culture. I'm sure Drea can talk to this as well. I see the power of fictional characters and fictional stories on people every single day of my life. I think that people do recognize her, whether they know her backstory or not, as this icon, as this symbol. They see her and they go, oh, that is a strong woman. Now, whether people are reducing her to just the bathing suit is a whole other story. right?
Andrea, Jennifer, it sounded like you were going to say something else. No?
No.
Andrea, I think we can't separate the choice of Wonder Woman from what's been going on at the UN, which is what makes some of the critiques that are coming out about the choice maybe more potent. I mean, again, to come back to this UN advisor who has, you know, signed this petition and spoken out about this, she says, Anne Marie Goetz again, it's frivolous, it's fatuous, it reduces an extremely serious human rights problem experienced by half the world to a cartoon. And remember that there were many, many women who support what the UN does who hoped that the new Secretary General would be a woman. That was not the choice made. And there are people within the UN who believe that women have been overlooked and marginalized for a long time within the organization, and that this choice is kind of a representation of that marginalization.
Absolutely. And one of the signatures on the petition was from the founding director of the UN Development Fund for Women, Margaret C. Snyder, who is now retired from the UN, but had said that it's shocking and absurd and thought that it did not represent women's perspectives who were a part of the United Nations. And I think that's something to really digest and understand. This clearly was a divisive decision. It clearly created a controversy within the United Nations, and I don't dismiss that. I guess in my heart of hearts that the idea of an ambassador, the essential role of an ambassador, whether a fictional character or not, is as an emissary, as an envoy, right? A person, a leader who would champion the work of others, who would usher in the voices of, in this case, of women who are underheard and underrepresented, and need that visibility. So that sense of a figure promoting and representing large groups of women, I think, is really important. Now, I suppose we could think of a number of other real-life superheroes who are women.
Definitely.
Who have touched us in many ways. You know, Oprah, Malala.
Malala, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Angelina Jolie, somebody living, somebody who clearly has done things. So I don't deny that.
Michelle Obama.
Agree with Hillary Clinton, if you will. So I think that it is an important perspective to think about, how does a fictional character truly represent our needs as women globally to empower ourselves, to essentially gain those rights? I think they said, you know, we have 14 years to have gender equality globally, and that time frame worries me, frankly, because we have so far to go as far as you know, academic equality, income and salary equality, basic rights, healthcare equality, political equality. And so I think to place all of that pressure on one single figure is just overwhelming. The idea then that it's Wonder Woman, that this is not a person, that this is a fictional figure, an icon, again, if you will, a representative that can take that form, again, move aside, bring in the voices and the visibility of other women. And I think that's what an ambassador does. They are not a single figure. They open up the doors for groups of women. And so I think that if we shift our perspective that way, this is a positive thing.
Natalia says, speaking, I think, to what you've just said, Andrea, they could use a real person like Gloria Steinem, who's actually done a lot of real work for our empowerment. And, of course, we heard some other names there. Melissa says, as a tomboy, as a tomboy child, Wonder Woman, along with Laura Ingalls Wilder, she was a woman I admired, identified with, also sported her underoos. And to Jefferson in Blaine, hey, Jefferson, hi.
Hi, yeah. I just wanted to say I agree with the importance of, you know, whether a fictional character or not. I think that she stands for basically the same, you know, equivalent of what Superman, you know, held on one end. And, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, I think. I never knew about the involvement with the UN making this decision to create this character.
Right.
I never knew about that. I just knew about the comic book as a kid. And for whatever reason, my parents gave me a Wonder Woman comic book that was like the book and had all of her stories. And I never really saw her being dressed, like, sexually, like you said. Not in the comic book, but later in the Linda Carter version, you know, the television show, I think it was much more sexualized.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I'd like to ask Jennifer what she thinks of that. Is that, do you think that, as Jefferson suggests, Jennifer, it was glamorized and sexualized in a way that you don't see in the comic books?
I probably see it more in the comic books than I do in filmic representation of her. And it's so interesting because so much of the focus of this conversation has kind of devolved to being around Wonder Woman's appearance.
I mean, that's part of what's many of the objections were about, right? The facade, the presentation.
Absolutely. But I think it oversimplifies the conversation. I mean, I looked through the Sustainable Development Goals that are listed on the UN's website, you know, and they're detailed, but they're also sort of fluffy and superficial. I would like to know what plans they have in place to enact those goals, to take them out into the world. How is Wonder Woman going to be used on the ground globally? What other characters are going to be used? The UN has typically or has a history of using characters and stories to open pop culture narratives, genre narratives, to open up conversations about human rights abuses, about humanitarian initiatives. They have a comics initiative, a global comics initiative through their UNICEF program. A friend of mine last night reminded me that they hosted some of the cast of the seminal Battlestar Galactica back in 2009 to talk about human rights abuses, and it opened up a place for conversation. So we can talk about the choice of this character and debate what the issues are, both positive and negative, surrounding her. But I think that there is a deeper conversation to have about how this could be useful or how it's going to be damaging.
Yeah, I was curious about that too, Jennifer. And one of the things that I saw in the campaign presentation here that the UN has planned, it shows Wonder Woman, caped woman, metal breastplate, long flowing hair, as you say, looking right into the camera. And then the copy on one of these representations reads, "Think of all the wonders we can do. Stand up for the empowerment of women and girls everywhere." And I, you know, mm-hmm. I thought, well, who is that really aimed at? Maybe this is a good question for Andrea. Andrea, which audience do you think that's really aimed at? It's very squishy.
Well, I certainly think the statement is meant to be wide-reaching, right? I think the UN had even admitted that their choice of Wonder Woman was intended to be new and unique and innovative,
yes,
to the degree that it's intended to widen their reach. I do feel there is an importance around that self-empowerment, because part of that statement is about, you know, as a psychologist, I can't not draw attention to the importance of starting from someone's own sense of self-worth, someone's individual internal sense of agency. And so, you know, speaking from a bit more personal background, if you will, I probably wouldn't be in the field that I'm in if it weren't for fictional narratives. I feel that, like myself, the folks that I work with, the children and families I work with, often are drawn to pop culture narratives and fictional characters to better understand resiliency, empowerment, trauma recovery. So while I'm not necessarily quite understanding how the kind of more political global impact this will have on the individual psychological level, I can say that this is very empowering, and that just from my work, I can tell you that people are quite moved and inspired by the stories and narratives that come from
Andrea, I would never suggest otherwise. I'm a huge reader. We talk about books all the time. I know the power of, you know, fictional narrative in this. This is more of a discussion about, you know, how the symbol reads worldwide, and whether it does the work around empowerment that the United Nations hopes it does. Here's Veronica on Twitter, who says, "Lara Croft Tomb Raider from the video games is awesome and was played by Angelina Jolie in the movie adaptation. Steph, off the page."
Here is how Wonder Woman is seen by a four-year-old girl. Here's an anecdote from her grandma.
Good.
Someone signed Grandma Oma. "My four-year-old granddaughter spent a night at my house recently, and the toy she brought with her was her Wonder Woman, a stuffed doll about a foot tall. We stopped at a restaurant, and I asked her if she wanted Wonder Woman to come eat with us. I was told by the four-year-old, Wonder Woman doesn't eat. Wonder Woman saves the world."
Wow.
Okay, impressive. Yeah. I think case closed. We can end the show right
there.
That's right. No. I think that it's really, I can't speak for Drea here, but I think that we are coming at this from a distinctly Western world American context.
Yes, that's true.
I cannot tell you how Wonder Woman is going to read or be used on the ground in Aleppo or Sierra Leone. Like, I can't. I can tell you that on Wonder Woman Day, my Facebook feed was filled with people who were moved by this. Will they be drawn to do more work with the UN, to donate money, to go on their own humanitarian missions? I can't say that either. This is something that has just happened. I think that it is incredibly important to combine the fictional characters, the stories that resonate deep within us, that inspire us and help us make sense of our lives, with real women on the ground. So how is
Wonder Woman going to be used, I think I already brought this up,
yeah,
with actual women.
Yes.
At Geek Girl Con, one of the things that we do through our programming is we do both. We discuss and celebrate characters to move us and shape our lives and our communities, as well as we create opportunities to have inspirational and aspirational women like astronauts and scientists and performers and game designers come. So how is she going to be used through this social media campaign, which can be very powerful? The Harry Potter Alliance harness the power of modern mythology for social change. So they piggyback on things like the Hunger Games Mockingjay movie coming out in order to create civic activism social media campaigns. And I think that there's some room for seeing this from that perspective. I think that DC Media or DC Entertainment is using this as an opportunity. It's to quote Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock, it's synergy, right? Like they're bringing attention to each other, and it's mutually beneficial. I had one other thought about the real women perspective.
Okay.
People have mentioned Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Gloria Steinem has been brought up. Beyonce has been brought up. And there are a number of other Goodwill ambassadors, Emma Watson. And I will say that you can pick a real world woman, Hillary Clinton, and people are still going to find fault with that choice. That the feminist intentions of all of those women have been questioned as well. And some of the other UN Goodwill ambassador initiatives, like He for She, have been roundly criticized. So I'm wondering if there's a deeper problem regarding gender within the UN that needs to be addressed.
Oh, well, you're wondering that, or you're...
Well, I mean...
I mean, come on. The fact that in the year 70 years of the UN, there's never been a female secretary.
I think your
question is answered right there.
Yes.
Jennifer Stuhler is with us this morning. If you've just tuned into the conversation, she's president of the board of Geek Girl Con. She's a media critic and a scholar. And Andrea Letamendi is with us. She's a clinical psychologist and a consultant and a writer. And we asked them to, and this has really been interesting for me, we asked them to consider the choice of the United Nations of Wonder Woman as a global ambassador for female empowerment. So first we talked about the representation of Wonder Woman that we all recognize. Then we talked about how Wonder Woman will really be used, who the audience is, how the UN may pair up Wonder Woman with real life female ambassadors to female empowerment. And I'd love to hear from you as you listen to the conversation. Do you think Wonder Woman is a good messenger for this idea of valuing and empowering girls? And this has been fun on Twitter. If you were to choose the right symbol, real life, comic, cartoon, who would you choose and why? 800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. On Twitter, at Carrie, KERRIMPR, Anne says, why talk only about U.S. heroes? What about other countries? Mythical characters, Greek, Chinese, Norwegian. Steph off the page.
Alex really likes the idea of using a fictional character. By choosing a fictional character, you can adapt to each individual on the planet. You can't change a real woman to be everything for everyone.
Kate says she's the last person I would think of for female empowerment. Talk about Wonder Woman. I think it should be a real woman who's made a mark on the world. And to the phones here, to Don in Bloomington. Hi, Don.
Hi. Just wanted to point out a couple things about the history here. I do think the question about an international symbol is complicated and problematic, but Wonder Woman was developed as a character in the 1940s by a psychologist named William Marston,
who
wanted deliberately to create a positive role model for women. Marston himself was an interesting character, but that's for another time. Also, I wanted to mention, remind people that the very first issue of Ms. Magazine, founded by Gloria Steinem, featured Wonder Woman on the cover.
I didn't know that.
And if you want to look at something really interesting as an example of empowerment, given that Wonder Woman and Superman are both illegal immigrants, over at Marvel Comics, they have a really interesting new take on Ms. Marvel, who is a Muslim teenager,
okay.
and coping with growing up in that environment. So
Don, thank you.
A lot to look at. Yep.
Yeah. Andrea, you probably know the background story. I know there was the Jill Lepore book about Marston and the creation of Wonder Woman.
Absolutely. It's important to bring up, too, that, you know, again, this was a character who was brought in to embody feminism and to not be the damsel in distress. At the time, there were a lot of comic book characters and fictional characters who were women that were represented as weak, as needing to be rescued. And so Wonder Woman came along, and Marston even said, if I can quote him, "Not even girls want to be girls, so long as our feminine archetypes lack force, strength, and power." And so, you know, he admitted that she should also look like a woman, she should be alluring, so forth. But I think it's important, again, to remember that this was a character that was intended to be a female, a woman character, and to bring in, at least at the time, this idea, perhaps even controversial then, that a woman can be independent, that she can be strong, that she can be brave, and that she can rescue herself. In fact, she was even depicted getting herself out of bondage and fighting Nazis and being, you know, quite empowered. And so I know we've come a long way since then, but I think to think of the representation of her is sometimes I think it's lacking in some of these conversations about her panties.
I'm glad you mentioned the bondage, though, Andrea, because Jill Lepore points out in that book that in the early episodes, now this evolved, but in the early episodes, Wonder Woman was often tied up or bound in some ways by a villain. Mm-hmm. Yes, she would get herself out of it, but that was kind of an interesting lens that Marston was creating her through. Again,
well,
that changed.
There are a couple of interpretations of that depiction, and some of it, and Lepore points this out, was the breaking the bonds of suffrage, and that a lot of the iconography in those early issues was drawn from suffrage propaganda, that Wonder Woman was breaking her own bonds. Other interpretations, and Lepore writes about this, so does Tim Hanley and others, was that Marston was really kinky. So he wanted to depict bondage in the comic for those purposes.
Yeah, right. To the phones here to Jane in St. Paul. Hi, Jane.
Hi there. Listen, I am calling because I'm so delighted that you're talking about this particular symbol. She was very important in my life because I'm an older gal. I remember buying one of the first comic books that was about Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Delighted to see her because I had been always having a Joe of Little Women as my hero. I read that book. I was delighted. I was only about 7, barely 7, and I went home and got a scarf, put it around my neck like a cape, put my mother's bracelets on my arms, got up to the top, because I was a tomboy, got up to the top of our garage and jumped down, of course, hurting myself, thinking I could fly, okay? But the important thing beyond that is that in my 30s at the law school, University of Minnesota, we were in the height of our feminism in those days, and it was delightful that we had seen that copy of the Gloria Steinem copy of Ms.
With
her with Wonder Woman. My girlfriend brought her little girl, 4 years old, to the law school around Thanksgiving, around Halloween, and she had her dressed as Wonder Woman, and all of the women in the law school, there were about 20 of us at the time, were just having such a wonderful time saying, "Strong woman, keep going," and that kind of thing.
I love it.
Is that, and the other part that we should remember, in terms of that sexuality of the shorts that she's wearing and Linda Carter did wear, keep in mind that in those days, in the 70s still, early 70s and maybe even to the late 70s, they were wearing on the basketball court short pants. So they didn't have that same sexuality sort of thing. I mean, I'm not talking about the top, but I mean in terms of the short shorts, we actually were still using those in our sports events much more.
So it might not have looked so different. Jane, I love the call. Thank you. And Steph Curtis found the cover of Ms. Magazine, and it says, the very first Ms., Wonder Woman for President, and it's Wonder Woman striding over a city and carrying her lasso of truth. I love these articles, Steph. Gloria Steinem on how women vote. Boy, it hasn't changed that much, right? Since Money for Housework, one of the articles. New Feminist, Simone de Beauvoir, and Body Hair,
The Last Frontier.
1972.
Right here on my desk.
Do you? That's great.
Yes, and it's actually, if you look through some of those, it's actually rather depressing if you look through some of those 1970s Ms. magazines. But a lot of the issues then are still pressing issues today.
Right. Randy says, by choosing Wonder Woman, is the UN telling us that a powerful woman is not a real thing? Malala, Michelle Obama are for real. Jennifer, do you want to answer that?
Well, I mean, I think I kind of already did. This is one specific initiative designed to draw media attention to the Sustainable Development Goals for the empowerment of women and girls. Again, I'd like to see something. I'm less concerned about the choice of a symbol because I do believe in the power of symbols. I'm more concerned about what are the actual. I know the objectives. What are they going to do with it?
Yeah.
What is the action plan? I mean, so I often tell this story about Wonder Woman because it ties into my thinking about her. I have a little business card case, and it has Wonder Woman on the cover. And whenever I pull it out, the first thing the person near me says is, "I love that." And I stop and think, what is it that you love about that? It's simply a picture of Wonder Woman. Why is this picture so resonant with people? Are they familiar with the character? Do they know the character's detailed history? Do they know about her creation with Marston? Did they watch the show in the 70s? Are they excited about the movie? Or is it that there's that instant spark of recognition?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is an empowered female character. And I think that is probably the most useful thing that the UN can tie into if they would like to use her for this initiative. Now, that means that real, actual women have to do the work, and Gloria Steinem has even commented on this. I believe in Wonder Woman, but you need actual physical women out in the real world doing this work.
Maybe as a secretary general, but that's another show.
Right?
hearing from a lot of people on Twitter, and this is a good point, Trish says, UN woman symbols should be international representation, a person of color. And I'm hearing from Jim and Mia and some other people about that. Steph, off the page.
Robin says, I would like to see a symbol made of colors that all most women in the world identify with, and that branding symbol represents a list of qualities, strength, intelligence, etc. That sounds like Olympic symbol to me, you know, like when they create a little logo that embodies everything Olympic, everything
woman.
I love
these tweets we're getting here. Kirsten says, Team Hermione Granger, intelligent, strong-willed, effortlessly negotiates the terrains of multiple nations. Way to go, Kirsten. Great suggestion. And Kari says, absolutely on Wonder Woman. As a young comic book reader, she meant the world to me, and her alter ego, Diana Prince, is smart, bold, and confident. I'm going to grab one last call here. I hope we have time from Kay Lynn in Apple Valley. Hey, Kay Lynn. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good. What'd you want to say?
Well, I just kind of wanted to bring it back to people complaining about, like, her physical appearance and her outfit.
Uh-huh.
I'm a very avid weightlifter, and Wonder Woman is a very athletic person, so there's nothing wrong with her being in peak physical condition. I don't see why people have an issue with that.
That's a good point.
And then coming to her outfit, you know, when I work out, especially when I do, like, leg day, I wear short, tight shorts because it gives me full range of movement without anything getting in the way. And that's exactly what her outfit gives her. I mean, it's just like gymnasts, you know, they wear those leotards because there's no clothes that are going to get in their way.
Kay Lynn, you've inspired me to put a picture of Wonder Woman up on the mirror at the gym. next time I'm there. Thank you so much for the call. Jennifer, Andrea, thank you. This was really fun, and I learned a lot from you, too. Really good to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
And on Twitter here, lots of people. Here's Joshua. I wanted to read this. Uh-oh. Now I'm losing it here. Steph, my Twitter feed is going crazy. Help me out off the page.
I will help you out off the page. Well, one, I'd like to give a shout-out to all of Wonder Woman's Amazonian family, too.
Oh, really?
I think that was a big, compelling part of Wonder Woman for me, is that she came from all women. And, well, and with, how about Krista? She's got a very public radio note here. She says, I think the focus should be directed less toward who and what Wonder Woman is and does, and more the framing of the message of finding, energizing, and activating the wonder in all of us would be a better focus.
Joshua was reminding me on Twitter that a lot of the comic book characters are kind of overly sexualized,
exaggerated, guys, yes.
Right, for guys too. So that's a good note. Keep on tweeting. I love to hear who your suggestions for somebody as an alternative to Wonder Woman are, or your defense of Wonder Woman. It's @CarrieMPR.